Hey, it's another nice day. We got lots to get to today. We'll get that creepy swamp snake, Brennan. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to Governor Cuomo. America was never great. We'll get to Mayor de Blasio. Boy, has he got some scam he's trying to pull off. We'll get to Twitter and more. Aretha Franklin. You may have just heard the news, the sad news that was just announced. Aretha Franklin has passed away. She was 76 years old. She'd been suffering for some time, ill for some time. On her deathbed for the last week, she passed away in Detroit, Michigan. She was from there. She wasn't one of the Motown artists, one of the few people Motown didn't sign. And I think she was on Columbia originally, then went to Atlantic Records, where a huge success happened for her. She grew up in Detroit, Michigan. She moved to Los Angeles. Actually, she moved to New York for a while, I think in the 60s, then Los Angeles, then back to Michigan. Now, being from Michigan, I can't imagine moving back there after you've been in New York. But I think the reason is she wouldn't fly. She had a terrible fear of flying and had to drive everywhere. So when you're on tour and you're doing concerts all over the place, it's a long, long drive. So I think that's the reason she moved back. She needed to be in the middle of the country because that cross-country drive was just brutal. So she's 76 years old. All sorts of tributes will be underway. She set all kinds of records for sales and charting. And I think the first woman ever in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, first woman ever in the British Music Hall of Fame. I think she holds the record for the most songs on the charts of Billboard. Billboard Magazine was the big chart for a million years. I think she set almost every record for a female vocalist. So we'll be talking about that throughout the program. Now, President Trump, Governor Cuomo, where do we start? Let's start with this John Brennan, this creepy swamp snake. You've seen this guy, this slimy-looking swamp creature who's been all over CNN and MSNBC for months and months and months, yelling, calling President Trump every name, making up crazy accusations about Russian collusion and all that stuff. He was, under President Obama, the CIA director. That's the most frightening part of this story. And by the way, if there was Russian hacking during the time of the election, you can blame Brennan. He was the guy in charge at the time. And they had had multiple warnings about Russian hacking, didn't do a damn thing about it. Brennan is a bad guy. He's been caught lying under oath multiple times, lying under oath in front of Congress. Now, what does it mean that you lose your security clearance? Absolutely nothing. I know if you watch MSNBC or CNN or Lester Holt or any of these Chuck Todd fake news types, they'll give you this whole explanation about he must have that security clearance so he's up to date on everything in case the current CIA needs to consult with him. Nobody on earth in the administration would ever be consulting with Brennan, ever. First of all, he's turned into a raging nut the last 6 months. And why would you? He's been gone 2 years. He was thrown out of the government 2 years ago. Now think about where you work. Once in a while, maybe you'd ask somebody that used to work there a question, but somebody that left 2 years ago, you really need to ask them anything? And our current CIA director takes over as one of the most experienced CIA directors in the history of the world. What does she need to ask Brennan about? And if she needs to ask somebody, she's got the former CIA director, Mike Pompeo, just down the hall. You can ask him. And when you've left a job, when you're fired, they break the news to you, and in the next sentence, they're taking your card away. Before you've left the meeting where you're fired, before you get out the door, they've shut down your email, they've changed your password, they've canceled your building pass, everything. This is normal. Only in the swamp, in the crazy government swamp, would it be unheard of to take somebody's security clearance away 2 years after they're gone. Now, what does it mean to Brennan? Actually, it means something to Brennan. The president's talking about taking away the security clearance of all these corrupt, sleazy swamp people that were involved in that little conspiracy. It would be Strzok, Page, McCabe, Susan Rice, Comey, Clapper. Those types. They may take away all their clearances. But what does it mean to them? It means money. You can actually make money off that security clearance. That's what guys like Brennan and Clapper do. They actually get paid for that security clearance. For instance, Brennan worked for Kissinger Associates, or you work for some other firm or some corporation or some lobbying company. If you have the security clearance, They put you on the payroll for a lot of money, and then they brag to clients that they have you. We have the former CIA director who still has full security clearance with us, and he'll help you. He'll get you information. These are for firms that are hired by companies that are going to do business overseas. Let's say a company's going into Pakistan, and they need to know about the risks, about the safety, about the stability, about so they'll tell you, we'll consult with Brennan. You can meet with him. He has a full security clearance. He's up to date on everything. So that's how they make a lot of money. Once you pull that security clearance, they're not so valuable anymore. So if you're Kissinger Associates, maybe you're not going to be bragging to clients that they can consult with John Brennan. Brennan, a bit of a nut. He's been on a tirade on all the... And why do you need a security clearance to go on Morning Joe? But here he is on MSNBC.
I've seen this type of behavior and actions on the part of foreign tyrants and despots and autocrats for many, many years during my CIA and national security career. I never, ever thought that I would see it here in the United States.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's the guy who's been caught lying in front of Congress, lying under oath. As far as collusion, there's you could find video online of him telling you there was absolutely no collusion. Then you'll find video of him telling you there was definitely collusion.
I do believe that all Americans really need to take stock of what is happening right now in our government and how abnormal and how irresponsible and how dangerous these actions are.
I think he doesn't realize most Americans look at him, even the most non-political, middle-of-the-road American, looks at him and sees a very creepy-looking swamp guy and says to himself, why would this guy have had a security clearance 2 years after he's gone from government? And if you watch the fake news, Lester Holt or Andrea Mitchell, they made a big point yesterday about without that security clearance, current officials won't be able to consult with him. It's been 2 years. Nobody's ever consulted with him about anything. Nobody was about to consult with him.
I do believe that Mr. Trump decided to take this action, as he's done with others, to try to intimidate and suppress any criticism of him or his administration.
That's actually one of the funniest things. Think about that. He's actually implying that because from this one little corner, there was some criticism. Oh, we tried to stamp that out right away. You know, President Trump can't have any criticism of anywhere. He's criticized every second by a billion people in the news. Every channel, CNN, MSNBC, every network, every news, nonstop criticism. What the hell would he care about this one little guy out of the 10 million people criticizing him? This one would bother him? Actually, this one he kind of enjoyed because this guy looks so creepy on television. Anyway, we'll talk about Brennan throughout the show. Oh, Governor Cuomo. I think he was ad-libbing here. It looks like he was ad-libbing. You know, sometimes they say, you know, he's not the brightest guy. And or they'll say, he's not the best speaker. I mean, let's be honest, he's not exactly Winston Churchill. I think his problem here was, Cynthia Nixon actually said it, Governor Cuomo has always been a moderate, middle-of-the-road Democrat. That was his real value, mainstream guy, middle-of-the-road. And Cynthia Nixon said he's trying to pretend he's a progressive now, and he's trying to sound like a progressive, but not actually being one for real. He doesn't know what that's supposed to sound like. And that happens sometimes. He overdoes it. So he's speaking yesterday, and this, which will be constant controversy for him, this will be used in campaign ads all over the place, this came out of his mouth.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
Now listen to that. He's talking to a bunch of Democrats. The audience are all progressive supporters, and even they were offended. Listen to the audience reaction. Even they're offended.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged.
That's right. What does that mean? Fully engaged? I don't understand what that means. I guess it would be creating jobs, opportunity. And under the current president, you've had a record number of jobs created. So that would be one way. What did he really mean? Who knows?
We will reach greatness when discrimination and stereotyping against women, 51% of our population, is gone.
Well, first of all, if they're 51%, they're the majority. Men would then be the minority that need protection. Secondly, if you're against stereotyping, why do you do it all the time? Nobody does this stereotyping more than the Democrats, more than the progressives. So Cynthia Nixon, thrilled when this happened.
I think this is just another example of Andrew Cuomo trying to figure out what a progressive sounds like and missing by a mile.
Yeah, and it's a bit, but again, the strength of Cuomo was always that he appeared to be this reasonable, mainstream sort of a Democrat, but with the socialists and progressives, he's got to pretend to be one of them. It doesn't work. You know who got away with that? The guy who trained Andrew Cuomo, besides his father, Andrew Cuomo worked for Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton was the best at that. In all the years he was governor in Arkansas, and even during the 8 years of his presidency, he would change. You know, when it was time to be a crazy liberal, he would do that for a couple of years. Then when the Gingrich Congress took over, all of a sudden Clinton became a conservative Democrat. You could see that in Arkansas. There were times where he was an arch conservative. And then as things changed, a couple of years later, he was very liberal as governor. And then a few years later, when the tide moved, he would suddenly become very conservative again. That's just the way, but Clinton could pull it off. He was the slickest salesman ever in politics, extremely articulate. You got to know how to pull that off and be convincing. Andrew Cuomo studied under Bill Clinton, mentored by him. But you got to know how to pull it off, and this isn't how you pull it off.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not...
You'll be hearing that phrase. That's going to be one of the most quoted things for the next few months. Hey, they are going to debate, so don't be surprised if somehow this debate gets canceled. Cynthia Nixon and Cuomo. August 29th. When is that? That's about 2 weeks from now. It's going to be at Hofstra. They've agreed to debate, and Governor Cuomo set all kinds of conditions and said, non-negotiable. This is the only way I'll debate you. Cynthia Nixon faced with this. Take it or leave it. You got no choice, either take it or leave it. So she needs this debate, so she accepted it. Now, some of the commission's conditions he demanded, they'll be seated. They won't be standing at a podium. Now, why would he want that? I think that actually helps her. Usually the taller person wins. He's taller. He looks good at a podium. I don't know why he didn't want that. He wanted it seated. I think he wants it not to look like a debate. I think he wants it to look like an informal sort of a conversation, like a talk show. He feels he'll do better there. The other thing is no opening or closing statements will be allowed. And why would he want it? I guess because it's too hard to memorize all that. Actually, maybe that's what, because of what happened here yesterday. Maybe he's worried he'll slip up and say the wrong thing.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have.
You hear the audience go crazy. It's very hard to offend progressives like that. But I guarantee you, you're going to see those red hats everywhere. America was never that great. It's one of the great gaffes in American politics. But we'll see how he plays this. Has he said anything yet? But the president tweeted out that obviously the governor's having a meltdown. But anyway, we'll continue in a moment. We'll get to this. Mayor de Blasio has a major scam he's trying to pull on us with our money. We'll get to that coming up. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Hey, you know, Donald Trump, over the last 30, 40 years, was quite an actor. He was in a lot of TV shows, sitcoms, dramas. He appeared in a number of movies. So watch this stuff all cut together. This is his acting reel. If he wanted a job as an actor, he could give you this. This is him in all these different TV shows. Also, watch the evolution of dancing. This is pretty interesting. This is actual evolution of dancing from the 1920s to today. Oh, and if you love the drums, if you love rhythm, watch this video. The greatest drum battle ever in history. The two greatest drummers go at it. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com and then go over to the Mark Simone page, or you just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.
Put a little more Mark Simone in your day. Get his podcast on demand at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone
on the Voice of New York,
710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Aretha Franklin has passed away. It happened about a half hour ago. She was 76 years old. If you want to talk about that, you can. 800-321-0710. She hadn't been well for a while. She'd been suffering. And as you know, for the last couple of weeks, there'd been this vigil over, everybody knew she wasn't going to last too much longer. She, it was announced about a half hour ago, Aretha Franklin dead at the age of 76. Nobody quite like her. If you had to compare some other singer to Aretha Franklin, you can't think of anybody, nobody. I mean, like, if you went back to the standards era, there was Ella Fitzgerald. There was nobody on the same level as her. And then as rock and roll came in and all the other stuff came in, then it was Aretha Franklin. And since then, nobody. Oh, there's a few that maybe headed in that direction, but never, ever got that close. Diana Ross, no. It says different. Diana Ross, beautiful voice, very good pop singer, great pop hits. You know, if you got a couple of them, some bunch of good writers to write you some catchy little tunes, you'd have some hits with Diana Ross. But Aretha Franklin, there's a reason they called her the Queen of Soul. It was much more, you know, engaging, that music, much more depth and feeling to it. It was unbelievable. So if you want to talk about that, 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. If you're one of these people that goes to the Hamptons every weekend, I don't know what the hell you go there for. But if you go to the Hamptons on Friday, it is going to be a nightmare this Friday. What's today? Thursday? Tomorrow. Now, you say, well, it's always a nightmare on Friday trying to get out there. The President of the United States, President Trump, will visit the Hamptons. Like me, he can't stand the Hamptons, hates the place, but big fundraiser tomorrow, and it's at lunchtime, Howard Lorber's house. Howard Lorber is a great guy. A friend of mine, Howard Lorber, is the chairman of Vector. They own all kinds of things. They own Douglas Elliman. They own Nathan's Hot Dogs. But he is one of the president's two or three closest friends on earth. So he's having a big fundraiser at his house. Now, that means the president will land at the West Hampton Airport. I don't know exactly where that is. It's somewhere in West Hampton. So he's going to land at that airport about 11 o'clock. But that means they'll close the whole place to air traffic. This is, believe it or not, a problem, because a lot of these Hamptons people take a helicopter out there. It's so far to go in the traffic, so no helicopters will be allowed anywhere out there. This is probably from 11 till about 4 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon. And then when the president lands, he's going to try to drive from West Hampton to Southampton, which is a pain in the ass anyway. But what they're going to do, the problem is when you get out the Hamptons, here's the problem. You get the LIE, and then at some point it stops. You're so far out, there's no LIE anymore. And then you're taking these little roads. And then when you get to the Hamptons, it's these tiny roads that go out there that are always gridlocked. But they're going to close the roads down for the presidential motorcade. So from 11 to 4, it will be an absolute nightmare. When they close, what's that road there? Sunrise 27 or whatever it is. So when they close that down, there aren't a lot of side streets. So it's going to be absolute traffic hell tomorrow out there in the Hamptons from about 11 till about 4. And then even after 4, it'll probably take an hour or two for that to clear up. Let's go to Tom in Westchester. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Good.
Mark, I want to ask you a question about the Situation Room.
Yes.
In Washington.
Yes.
They say how secure it is. How did Beyonce and Jay-Z with a big cigar take a picture in there on Thanksgiving Eve?
Well,
if it's so secure.
Yeah, let me explain. It's not that secure. It's people go in there all the time. They have meetings in there, or when they're showing people around, people go in there. But they call it the Situation Room because in the middle of a crisis, or you remember you saw pictures during the Bin Laden raid. They were all in the Situation Room. Well, then it becomes a secure place. They lock up all the doors, the corridors leading to it, and then they panels on the wall open up, and there's TV screens on the wall. And they can sit there. It's not that impressive a place, believe me. I've been in the Situation Room. And when you walk around that part of the White House and you go in the Situation Room, it's really not that impressive. It looks like a Marriott somewhere in the suburbs. You know, when you go to the suburban Marriotts and they have like a business conference room, that's all it looks like. If you went to a police headquarters here in New York City, the New York City Police Commissioner has a much more impressive Situation Room. I mean, that thing is really high tech. In the one in the White House, a couple of walls have TV screens on them, flat screens. But the police commissioner here in New York, every wall is a video screen. In fact, they can push a button and each wall becomes 20 screens. It's much more impressive. So Situation Room, not that impressive. That whole part of the White House, again, it looks like kind of a suburban Marriott when you walk around in there. It's not that high-tech. It's not that fancy. But when they use the Situation Room for something important, as you go to it, you have to go down a little hallway, and then there's an outer room which has lockers in it, kind of like a gym with all these lockers. So before you go in the Situation Room for a big, important, classified meeting, you're supposed to take out all your devices, your phone, everything, even your Apple Watch, and put it in a locker, and you lock it. It's like those gym lockers where you take the key yourself, and your stuff is in there, but you can't bring it into the room. Obviously, Omarosa snuck something in there, probably another iPhone to record on. Let's go to Andy in Summit, New Jersey. Andy? You there, Andy?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you today?
We didn't wake you, did we?
So it's ridiculous. All these people are freaking out about Brennan losing his clearance.
Well, somebody may need to consult with him.
If I lose my job in my current company, all my credentials would be closed and locked down within 10 minutes, and all these people would want this guy who voted the Communist Party during the Cold War to keep his security clearance.
Yeah, no, anytime you're fired, by the time you leave the room, they've already shut off your email, your building pass, everything. No reason on earth for Brennan to keep a security clearance. He was thrown out of the government 2 years ago. Nobody's ever been consulting with him. Nobody in the White House ever needs to consult with him. Nobody in the White House would go near him. It was just a courtesy. The reason they would let you keep that security clearance is you could make money off it. So when you're Brennan, and you go to, as I said before, he worked at Kissinger Associates, or wherever you go, whatever company you go to work for, if they can say to the clients, we have the CIA director who still has full security clearance, he can get you any info you need. That's all that was for. So Brennan will still get hired by companies, but not for the same amount of money. Let's go to Frank in New York City. Hey, Frank. Frank?
Hello?
Yeah, what's good? Was everybody on some drug? They're all slowed down. Frank? It's the pausing show. Everybody just pauses. Hey, anyway, we got to go anyway because we'll call us later, Frank. We got Howie Carr. He'll be with us next. I want to hear what he has to say about Brennan, and I want to hear what he has to say about Cuomo and America Was Never Great. We'll get to that in a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Mike Bauer.
Mark Simone
on 710 WOR.
Well, Howie Carr is one of the biggest, best talk show hosts in America. He's a best-selling author. He's got a lot of great books. In fact, his latest, you should get, it's What Really Happened. It's the real story of the Trump campaign. He was there for it. And get his book, Kennedy Babylon, all of his books. You can go to HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com. Howie Carr, how you doing?
Very good, Mark. Very good. I'm very happy today. There's so much to talk about, I don't even know where to begin.
You heard about our governor, right?
Yes. Yeah. I can't. Every day I think to myself, there's no way they can go any lower, you know. But last night, wait, Mark, it got worse. Last night there was a debate in Boston. There's a far left incumbent congressman, Mike Capuano, who's being challenged by an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez type Boston city councilor named Ayanna Pressley. She demands the abolition of ICE, which even in this super ultra liberal congressional district, which is basically Boston and Cambridge, they don't want. So last night, do you know what she called the border wall? The hate wall. So my question for her is, do you have a front door, Ayanna, on your house, your apartment? That's a hate door. You're keeping people out. Well, you know? Do you have a key to your car when you go shopping? Do you lock that door? That's a hate key. You know, you're keeping people out. People need to get into your car and drive it and steal the stuff out of the change and everything else in there. Every day, Mark, it's gone from Elizabeth Warren calling the criminal justice system racist to Andrew Cuomo talking about America's not great to the hate wall. I mean, you wonder, what is it going to be today? You know?
Hey, who's this guy, this mayor of Somerville? I just read this story. He wants to boycott Sam Adams beer because the founder supports Trump.
Yeah, he succeeded this guy Capuano as mayor. It's insane. I mean, it's so crazy that the mayor of Boston had to step in and act like a responsible adult and say this is ridiculous. You know, I mean, they want to boycott Sam Adams beer because Jim Cook, the owner, went down to New Jersey last week to the golf club, and they had a dinner for the business leaders. And he said, "You know, we're going to kick ass with this new tax cut plan." Yeah. And as soon as I saw it, Mark, I said, "Man, Jim Cook doesn't know. He's in a world of hurt." So I hosted a party for one of the Senate candidates this week. I went out on Saturday, even before this all started, and I bought a bunch of Sam Adams beer. You know? I think Sam Adams beer sales are going through the roof. We always thought of it as a moon bath. I mean, it's a good beer, but we always thought of it as mainly, you know, like, you know, hipster, Brooklyn hipster types drink it, you know, more than just, you know, average Joe six packs. But, you know, now it's the official beer of Trump world, I think.
You know, it's fascinating. Tim Cook has become great friends with Donald Trump. He's been to the White House a number of times, and people in the meetings say he really butters him up. And Donald Trump had him come to Bedminster last week to have dinner with him alone, but everybody right. giving Cook a pass. He's not getting any flack for that.
Yeah, well, no, well, he is. He is up here. Well, you know, it's interesting too. You remember when he when Opie and Anthony got fired down in New York because they it was part of this thing that were encouraging these people to have sex at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Yeah.
And their reward was going to be they were going to get some Sam Adams because Sam Adams was a big advertiser on the Opie and Anthony show. And you'd think that's pretty outrageous stuff, but there was absolutely no blowback for that whole St. Patrick's thing compared to this.
Yeah.
This is how deranged these people are. You know, they're talking about boycotts of Sam Adams.
Well, Howie Carr, the great talk show host. Oh, I'm watching MSNBC yesterday. Brennan's security clearance is taken away. And you think to yourself, what the hell did he have a clearance 2 years later for? And I'm watching all these NBC types saying, how will anybody be able to consult with him now? He doesn't have a seat. What if the administration needs to talk to him? Who the hell would ever consult with him?
I know. This is a guy, you know, he was the chief of the CIA, and apparently he didn't know that Dianne Feinstein had been infiltrated her staff by a Chinese spy for 20 years, and he didn't tell her about that. But, you know, he's got this editorial, this op-ed in the New York Times today. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
Did you read it?
I just looked at it. I'm not going to read anything by him.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. My producer read it. I didn't read it either. I have to confess. But apparently the whole collusion thing, after 2 years, you know what it hangs on? That joke that Donald Trump said, if the Russians have those 33,000 missing emails, I think they ought to turn them over.
Yeah.
That's his only proof.
You know,
in the op-ed.
When Brennan was CIA director, he had his personal email hacked like four or five times. A foreign country did it once. One time it was a college kid in New Jersey. This is the CIA director who can't control his own email while he was CIA director. And, of course, during his time as director, that's when the Russians supposedly did all the hacking. So he was awful in his job.
Yeah, and how about the fact, too, that he says that Trump is a liar? This is a guy who admitted he perjured himself in front of Congress when they asked him about hacking into Dianne Feinstein's computer. He's hacking into the Senate Intelligence Committee's computer system when he's the boss of the CIA, when she's the chairman. But he's violating the civil liberties of everybody who's on that computer system. And at the same time, this Chinese spy is operating with impunity, and he doesn't have a clue what's going on. You're right. Who the hell would ever have anything to do with this guy? I don't know how he got hired at the CIA in the first place after he admitted he voted for Gus Hall, the Communist Party candidate for president, 1976.
Yeah. Well, now, Howie Carr, you and the president are friends. Let's say he called you right tonight and he said, what do I do about Mueller and all these guys? What should I do? What would you tell him?
I would tell him don't make any sudden moves until after the midterm elections. But I would say you should immediately declassify everything. You know,
yeah.
Declassify the FISA warrant applications so we can see that this guy Strzok was lying, that Sally Yates was lying, all these people, Clapper, Brennan. We want to see all the documents to show, because Brennan's fingerprints, as Rudy Giuliani said the other day, they're all over this thing too. But, you know, Mark, I think I've told you this. I saw him at Mar-a-Lago last Christmas, and I said, why don't you just release all these documents? And he gets grimace on his face like, you know, I'm the millionth person to say this to him. You know, I think all of his friends have told him he should release these documents. But, you know, he doesn't want to be accused of obstruction. But it's his right as president of the United States, just like firing Comey. That's what he's elected to do. He's the chief executive officer of the United States of America. He can release these documents. He can pardon anyone he damn well pleases, too.
Yeah.
I would do that immediately. But what would you do? What would you tell him?
Absolutely. I would tell him declassify everything, release everything, order Mueller to, if he can't wrap it up, he's taken $25 million of taxpayer money. If he can't wrap it up, at least put out a report. An update on where he is on this to the public. Let him know what he's doing and where he is on this investigation.
Mark, I just discovered last night, too, this guy, Peter Strzok. I just really dislike this guy. And now I discovered last night, a source told me, I nailed it down, he worked in the Boston FBI office.
Uh-oh, and that's...
The office that Mueller worked in. After Mueller left. But he worked in the Boston office where all these criminals worked. You know, they had seven people on the mob payroll. Two or three of them were involved in organized crime, gangland assassinations, and one of them still in prison in Florida. These are the guys that Strzok worked in this office. This is where he started.
As you've pointed out, if you've exposed through the years, that was one of the most corrupt FBI offices ever. You know, it's fascinating.
Right.
Liberals finally find a cop they'll support, and it's Peter Strzok.
isn't it amazing? $400,000 he got? These are the same people that were going crazy about the Patriot Act in 2003. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be violating American civil liberties. Now you have a clear-cut case, incontrovertible evidence, Carter Page, Papadopoulos, Trump, all these people, their civil rights were violated, and they're falling all over themselves to back this guy up.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say we're out of time, but Howie Carr, always great talking to you. You should get his books. Get What Really Happened. Great book on the Trump campaign. Kennedy Babylon, I love. There's a sequel coming, I hope.
Yes, it is. It'll come at Christmas. We'll have it out before Christmas, Mark.
All right. Go to Howie
Babylon 2.
Go to HowieCarrShow.com. You can get everything there. HowieCarrShow.com. Howie Carr, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mark Simone. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Hey, Ann Coulter is coming up in the studio. We never allow anybody in the studio, but we will make an exception. And check out the webpage. We've got some great stuff up there. You know, through the years, Donald Trump was quite the actor. He was in a lot of TV shows, sitcoms, movies. Watch this video. This is his acting reel. Highlights of his acting career all cut together. Also, if you love dancing, watch this video. This is wonderful. This is the evolution of dancing. From the 1920s to today, you'll see every dance that people did, all just in one montage. And then take a look at this. If you love rhythm, if you love the drums, here's the greatest drum battle ever. The two best drummers ever in history go at it. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.